Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity to be able to gather together in Your house again this morning, to be able to open Your Word, to be able to study, to find some of that faith-building knowledge that comes from that, some of that encouragement that we can stand up to whatever this world has in store for us, as long as we understand that we're standing on Your power, Your might, that it's all through You that we do Your work. We thank You so much. Give us that courage, give us that strength, give us that motivation. Lead, guide, and direct us as we get into Your Word now, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Becoming born again. Jesus was teaching Nicodemus about this in John chapter 3. Nicodemus being a Pharisee, you would think he would have had a little more understanding and realization of what was being fulfilled right before him. But eventually he did come to be one of Jesus' disciples and understood what Jesus was teaching him about being born again. As Nicodemus was saying, what, do we have to physically be born again? But it wasn't that. The Lord was telling him about the spiritual birth, that we become born again, a new life. Really, when you get back into just the basics, what is life and what is death? You know, life and death. Death is actually a separation of one part from another. We can have physical death and we can have spiritual death. We suffered spiritual death, a separation of our relationship with God all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Well, you think, well, I wasn't in the Garden of Eden. How can I have any part of that? Well, you are part of that because you are actually male and female, Adam and Eve. You are part of the original two that were created all the way back there on day six of creation. And in that, you have the connection all the way back to that original sin and that original separation of your life, your spiritual life with God. And the gospel, what it's all about, is to reconcile us with God once again, to bring us back together. And in that reconciliation, that is life. That is that reconnection. When we die physically, we are separated from our physical body. When we die spiritually, we are separated from our spiritual father, God Almighty. And the second death that it speaks of in the prophecies that will occur in the final judgments is that total and permanent separation from God for eternity in hellfire. But all those that have given their life to the Lord have reconciled, have come back together, have gotten a new life, have become born again. And that's the critical thing that we have to make everyone understand, is that you have to become reconciled with God, or you will suffer that second death. That second and total and permanent separation from God. Because even all those that are now currently dead that did not give their life over to the Lord are still going to appear before God once again. They will appear before the great white throne judgment in the last days. But after that, there will never be any experience of being in the presence of God again. That's the second death, the second and total and permanent separation from God. On top of that, not just the fact that you're going into outer darkness where there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth, on top of that, they'll receive punishments for their works in this world, the sin that they indulged in. But we as Christians, when we give our lives over to the Lord, understand or should understand that we become born again, become a new creature in Christ. That's the title of the sermon tonight, is A New Creature. We become a new creature because we are born once again and that relationship is back together. What we do with that relationship is up to you. Are you going to nurture that relationship, that new life that you've been given? Are you going to take care of it? Are you going to make sure it stays healthy? Or are you going to neglect it Just like your physical body. Do you take care of your physical body or do you neglect it? You have to do the same with your spiritual body. You have to take care of it. You have to exercise it. You have to feed it. How do you exercise it? By working for the Lord. How do you feed it? By prayer and studying His Word. And if you pray and study the Word, He will give you tasks to do as Christians, and you'll work and you'll become stronger, and you'll build up that body stronger and stronger and healthier, so that new creature will have an awesome rewards for eternity for the service that he has done for the Lord. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, one verse here, I'd like to read it, but it contains so much. I want you to read it right along with me because it is so strong. It reads, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," how are you in Christ? It's in that connection. You are reconciled once again. You are born again. That's how you become in Christ. And He is in us as in that relationship. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Not the same old man, not the same old woman, not the same old sinful nature, but a new creature. "Which old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So we get, when we ask the Lord to come into us and accept, and we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, He gives us a brand new body in the Spirit. A brand new, clean, totally white, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to turn around and go wallowing right back in your sins and get that body all messed up and neglect it and it be weak and feeble and no joy in that? Or are you going to take care of that? Are you going to nurture that? Are you going to feed it the Word of God? Are you going to work for the Lord and build the muscles that that body needs to be strong and healthy and productive for us, for God? Because we become a new creature. We have so many examples in the Scriptures about individuals. The apostles. Peter, he stands out. The guy who was always sticking his foot in his mouth. Always saying the wrong things at the wrong time. And it's like when he cut that soldier's ear off. You know, stepping out and doing stuff at the spur of the moment. And then denying Christ those three times before the cock crow. But when he become filled with Holy Ghost on day of Pentecost, that's when he fully became the new creature. Because us today have a different situation in the relationship of the Holy Ghost than the Old Testament times. Once the day of Pentecost occurred, then everyone who becomes born again receives the Holy Ghost. And in that moment, you become that new creature and you are indwelt with God Almighty in the form of the Holy Spirit. And you are changed. You are different. You are no longer the same individual. The old man is dead. So we have to behave that way. Our lives should have that example in the world. When they look at you, what kind of fruit are they seeing? Are they still seeing the fruit of the old man, the old woman, the old ways, the old sinful ways? Or are they seeing the fruit of a Christian, a total new fruit? We should be bearing the fruit of a Christian if we have given our lives over to the Lord. Does it mean if you do not bear the fruit of a Christian that you are not a Christian? Possibly. If you're not a Christian, you're not going to bear Christian fruit. You might bear some counterfeit fruit. Satan has done that all through the ages. There's hypocrites out there. There's people that are so involved in the church that you would think that they were very, very close to God. But yet they go out into the world and they live a totally different life. Hypocrites. Not truly given their lives over to the Lord. But if you have truly given your lives over to the Lord, you will have and you will bear fruit of that Spirit that is within you. Now, you can get to the point where you have damaged your relationship. You have abused that new body, that new creature you become. You can neglect it. You can quit feeding it, the Word of God. You can quit working it out by service of the Lord, and it will get feeble, it will get weak. And then when Satan comes along, and here you are, this weak, feeble Christian, and then he dangles that little bait in front of you, and then he'll dangle something else in front of you. And next thing you know, he knows exactly what you're going to bite, and he draws you into his world once again. And you're no longer bearing the fruit of a Christian. You haven't lost your salvation, but you sure have lost the joy of your salvation, and you lost the service that you once had. You've lost your testimony, and you've lost many of your rewards. Because we will lose rewards for our failures in the Lord. So if you been a Christian for 30 years and you're looking back and you're like, well, the first 20 years I was really right on track with the Lord. The last 10 years I've been lazy. I ain't done nothing for the Lord. It's just all been about myself. You're whittling away the rewards that you once built up, because you will lose things. We've given parables about that, about how things will be taken away from those. But we can regain the graces, we can return to the Lord, we can ask for forgiveness, we can get washed in the blood again. It's not that you get born again and again, but you get cleansed again, rebuild that body that you've been given, that spiritual new creature that you have become, rebuild that through prayer, studying the Word, working for the Lord. You will feed it. That's why the services are so important. Coming together and hearing the Word. Coming together as a family. Coming together, getting that fellowship, that motivation, that strength that you draw from others that are filled with the Holy Ghost as well. That revives you. That lets you have the strength to be able to face that upcoming week. That's why gathering together is so important. That's why the Scriptures focus on and stress that we do come together as Christians, true Christians, and do the true work of the Lord. That builds us up. That gets us strong so we can get out there and work the work that the Lord has in store for us. So we need to do that. We need to get into His Word. We need to associate. We need to have fellowship with one another. And we need to focus on what the Lord wants us to do and make that new creature strong and healthy and working for the Lord. We see so many examples, like I said, in the Scriptures, how people were converted, how people were so evil, and then they become totally different. We've studied these recently, like the man in the tombs that was called Legion because he was filled with so many demons, and he was washed clean of that, and he totally became a new creature, and he was witnessing and testifying of what Jesus Christ did for him after that. A new creature. We see the examples, one of the biggest ones, if you will, turn over to Acts chapter 9. Let's look at one here that we all really owe a great debt to, a man that was so evil he calls himself the chief of all sinners because he knew he was so bad. And he talks about it here in Acts chapter 9 verse 1. And Saul, as you know, the name Saul is also Paul. He quit going by the name Saul when he got his conversion. But at this point, he's Saul. In chapter 9, it reads, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priests." He was so set. He thought he knew what was right in his religious activities. Because he was a Pharisee. He was a very prominent Pharisee. And the Pharisees were supposed to be the elite religious people. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. They were the top of the group of believers in the Jewish belief system. They were right on up there with the priests. And he should have known better if he would have listened to the Lord. If he would have understood the things that he witnessed. But he didn't. He was blinded by his religious rituals, his religious traditions, the things that he thought were right, but they were not. You see this in the world. You see people that are in very high prominent positions in the ministry, even people that are in control of some of these Bible colleges and seminaries, things that they have compromised in the Word of God, that they think they are right. They think they're doing the work of the Lord because Satan has deceived them, Satan has blinded them, because they're not truly listening to God, they're listening to Satan, the counterfeit. And they'll teach things like theistic evolution and that Adam and Eve were not real. They were just a fictitious story. And that the flood was just a local thing that occurred over there. That it's just a moral story that teaches us a lesson. And they'll teach stuff like that in college. They still teach the gap theory that Scofield was so prevalent and promoting, and they're deceived by Satan, and they compromise the authority of the Word of God. This man, Paul, was in that way. He was a Pharisee and he followed the teachings of those other Pharisees who thought Jesus Christ was not the Son of God, that they thought he was of Beelzebub, as they said. But let's continue here and we'll see how he was changed. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. What is this talking about? He got permission from the high priest to take letters, which would be permission letters, to go to Damascus and to hunt down Christians so he could take them back to Jerusalem and they would be tried and they would be persecuted. Many of them would be killed. They would be tortured in horrible ways. And he was seeking to do that further. And he was on his way in verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Jesus speaking directly to him. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? No, ask him the question. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Hard for him to fight against what is good. In verse 6, and he, trembling as and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? At least he was willing to ask that question. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And he rose up. He accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior there. And we know that he wrote the majority of the New Testament. Many of the apostles that knew him, many of the disciples that knew him and knew of his reputation, didn't want anything to do with him. He was shunned by many of them until he proved himself by appearing as that new creature. The new fruits. He was no longer seeking Christians to kill them. He was seeking people to lead them to the Lord. And the Lord made him the greatest disciple and apostle of the Gentiles, going out to the Gentiles to speak to them, to those that would accept him quicker than the Jews were because they knew of him and his past and so forth. And he went out and, like I said, became the greatest apostle of all time, doing most of the writing most of the New Testament that we have today. The change that came over him as a result of accepting Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. So we should recognize that change within us. We can totally change from somebody who's out here doing the work of Satan completely to working for the Lord completely. That is that new creature that we can become if we give our lives over to the Lord. But something else I want to tell you about. There's another step of becoming a new creature. You are born again. We get that new life here. But now there's something else that he's also offered all of us. And that is, if you will, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because we know that for eternity, we will not be like we are right now, because these bodies cannot hold up for eternity. But it's awesome to know that for eternity, we will have a different body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's look at verse 50, if you will, flip over to there. And this is talking about the rapture, the moment in which we will get that glorified body, the moment in which we will be changed. In verse 50 here, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 reads, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Our body is not going to go into eternity like this. Neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. This corruption here is decay. Our bodies will rot away. They will decay. It cannot inherit that. Our decaying body cannot enter into the glory of the kingdom of the Lord for eternity. In verse 51 reads, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. This sleep is that the death of that body, that physical death of that body, that's the sleeping that he's speaking of here. But we shall be changed. Verse 52, In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. All of us that are alive shall be changed All of those that are passed away, they receive their glorified bodies first, as it tells us in Thessalonians. And then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up or changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That quick, I mean, quicker than you can blink an eye. And taken on that incorruptible. In verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. This corruptible body will have a glorified body, incorruptible, not able to decay. And this mortal must put on immortality. We will live for eternity with the Lord. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, you will be rewarded for your work in the Lord, and it will not go out there and not have a yield. You might not see the yield of your work. It might be generations later, but all the work that you've done for the Lord will have a yield. It will have fruit. It will bear fruit. If you will, turn over to 1 John, the Epistle of John. We begin to wonder, well, what kind of body are we going to have? What are we going to have for eternity? We see the examples of when Jesus Christ's resurrection, the body that they saw, the body that they were able to touch, the scars in His hand, the scars in His side, the fact that He was able to prepare a fish dinner for them on the side of the bank of the river there, of the sea there, and eat fish, and be able to eat the fish and the honey in the upper room, and be able to appear in that room, and then go out of that room without having to go out of the door. Are we going to have that kind of body? We don't know. Those were examples that we saw in Jesus Christ when He appeared after His death, burial, resurrection. Are we going to be like that? We don't know. That was to be able to communicate with them at that time. But what are we going to be like for eternity? The Scriptures doesn't tell us exactly what we're going to be like, but it does give us some hints. And this is one of them here in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. It reads, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be for eternity, that body we're going to have. But we know that when He shall appear at His glorious appearing at the last days, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So knowing that the One who spoke everything into existence is going to be in a form that we're going to be like Him as well. That's awesome to think about it. Whatever it may be, you know it's going to be far better than you could dream up. And for eternity, we'll have that. Because if you will, flip on over to Revelation chapter 21, an awesome chapter here about how the Lord is going to come down with us on the new creation, as it says in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. And I saw, this is the vision of John. Now, we're studying the book of Revelation in Sunday school, and we'll be covering this soon, but we'll hit it now as well. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So all of this that we see now is going to be totally wiped away, burned up, gone, even the ocean and everything else with it, gone. It won't be a remodeled earth like so many have been teaching. It's wrong. It doesn't say, I'm going to remodel this earth here and fix up this old decaying planet. No. This earth's going to be melted away, totally gone. It gives us the details about the elements even melting away in Peter. Okay, let's read that again. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So everything that we see here is totally gone, wiped out. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, no more separation from God, no more separation from our body. The body that He gives us will be for eternity, and it will be no more tears, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Oh, that's going to be great. For the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. A new creature for eternity. That ought to motivate you. That ought to excite you. That ought to fire you up. Every time you have an ache or a pain, or you fall down and skin your knee, or you get a paper cut, or whatever it might be that you might be suffering from. Sadness in your life, sorrow from losing your job or financial situation, whatever it might be. Knowing that for eternity, God is going to live right here. Well, not here. He's going to live right amongst us on the new heaven and a new earth, and dwell there with us when New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven. A place for us to go into and worship, and a huge new planet, plenty big enough to handle all the countless born again that will be on that new earth for eternity, with no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. And be like Jesus Christ for eternity. That's awesome. That's the new creature that we've got to look forward to. And like I said, every time you have an ache or a pain or a woe, just think about that. And that'll motivate you. Because the more that you're in aches and pains now, the more that glorified body is going to appeal to you that much more. And you'll appreciate it that much more. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to become one of the joint heirs with Jesus Christ, to become one of the children of God, become part of the family, become part of you for eternity. That is so awesome. And we thank you for that. Please help us to always focus on that. When we have an ache or a pain, help us to just praise you, to let us be motivated to do that. Instead of moan and groan about our aches and pains, to say, praise the Lord, because we know that for eternity there's going to be no more pain, no more aches, no more sorrow, nothing to worry about in that sense. We thank you so much for that. Lead, guide, and direct us all as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. If everyone would please stand, bow your heads, and close your eyes. I'd like to have